Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's worship Him. Let's clap our hands together right now. Oh, bless your name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm excited that I'm a child of the King. Amen. The name's been applied. Hallelujah. I'm glad that I know Him. Amen. And His truth. Got a little bit of reading here today. If you'll turn your books, your Bibles to Mark chapter 3, John 12, Luke 22, Matthew 27. Mark chapter 3. I'm going to read verse 14 through 19. And He ordained 12 that they should be with Him, that He might send them forth to preach and to have power to heal sickness, cast out devils. And Simon, his surname Peter, James the son of Zebedee, and John the brother of James, and he surnamed them Ornogus, which is the sons of thunder. Andrew and Philip and Bartholomew and Matthew, Thomas and James the son of Ebius, Simon a Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed Him. And they went into the house. John 12, verse 4 through 6. Then saith one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray Him. Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? Then He said, not that He cared for the poor, but because He was a thief, and had the bag and bare what was put therein. Luke 22, verse 3. Then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of the 12. Drop down to verse 47 and 48 in Luke 22. And while He yet spake, behold, a multitude. And he that was called Judas, the one of the 12, went before them and drew near unto Jesus to kiss Him. But Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? Matthew 27, 3 through 5. Then Judas, which betrayed Him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself, and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to that. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. Lord, right now I just ask You to touch and speak to us here tonight. God, we need You right now. God, I pray that You'll speak to every heart. Anoint them, Lord, to hear Your word. Anoint Your servant to speak Your word. We give You the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. I want to speak to you tonight. No one wants to be Judas. No one wants to be Judas. Anybody here know anybody by the name of Judas? Nobody? Wonder why. Anybody got a name for their upcoming child, Judas? Nobody names anybody Judas. But we can learn from Judas. You see, folks, it's easy to dismiss Judas as a villain. You can dismiss him as a victim. But in many ways, he was just like many Christians today. Now, I know that just blows your theory. But let me speak to you about it. Judas was a disciple of Jesus. He was a disciple. Jesus picked him. He was a preacher of the gospel. But there was a double-mindedness about Judas. You see, in the end, he abandoned the faith that he once believed, that he once professed. Judas made a commitment to Jesus. And there's no reason to think He was anything but sincere in his faith. Like the rest of the disciples, he left everything to follow Jesus. Judas was actively involved in a ministry, and he was given remarkable spiritual gifts. Think about it today. Now, we don't think about that, but he had the gifts that the rest had. He preached like the rest did. Luke tells us that Jesus called the 12 together. He included Judas, and he gave them power. He gave them authority over all demons. He gave them authority to heal people and their diseases. He sent them out. This is including Judas to proclaim the kingdom of God, to heal people. Judas Iscariot was a gospel preacher. He was given the gifts of healing. He exercised authority over demons. Now listen to me, folks. Understand this tonight. Active involvement in ministry is a good and wonderful thing, but it is not in itself a guarantee of spiritual life. Come on. You see, Judas walked with Jesus for 3 years. Judas saw the greatest life ever lived up close and personal. You couldn't have a better model of faith than Jesus Christ, or a better environment for forming faith than what Judas had in walking with Jesus. Folks, it was like going to camp for 3 years. How many love camp? Come on. Man, you come back, you're all fired up from camp. I'm telling you, Judas had it like going to camp for 3 years. Judas directly witnessed miracles. He was with Jesus when Jesus fed the 5,000. Judas was there. Amen. He took the bread just like the rest, and he distributed it among all the people with the other disciples. When Jesus calmed the storm, Judas was there. Judas was there when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. Folks, you can't have a better evidence for faith than Judas had. Judas heard all the teachings of Jesus. He heard the Sermon on the Mount. Amen. So he knew that there was a narrow road that leads to life and a broad road that leads to destruction. Judas knew that. He heard the warnings Jesus spoke to the Pharisees. So he knew that there was a hell to shun and a heaven to gain. He heard the parable of the prodigal son, so he knew God is ready to welcome and forgive those who have wasted themselves in many sins. He knew about that. Judas, with his own eyes, he saw the clearest evidence. With his own ears, he heard the finest teachings. With his own feet, he followed the greatest example. And yet, folks, this man still betrayed Jesus. You see, folks, the human heart is far beyond understanding. Jeremiah 17:9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" Let me tell you something tonight, folks. Don't follow the leading of your heart. You better follow the knowledge of the Word of God. You better make sure you understand the Word of God tonight. Come on. Well, it feels like this is what I ought to do. Come on. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. You see, and there is something, folks, there's something incomprehensible about a person who abandons the faith that they once professed. It's just hard for me to understand. You see, it's hard to understand how a young person raised by godly parents in the context of a healthy church, taught the truth of scriptures from an early age, can give up on Jesus. Judas' story contains an important lesson for parents, for family, for leaders, for friends. And this lesson is, and those people, that, and all these people, your parents and friends and family, and all these, you grieve over someone that they love who has abandoned the faith. They worry about them. They think, where did we go wrong? What more could we have done? Did we fail in our teachings? Did we fail in our example? Should we have immersed our son or our daughter or our friend in a different environment? Let me tell you something tonight. Hear me. Judas teaches us that even the best example, the most compelling evidence, the finest teaching, the ultimate environment for incubating faith cannot, folks, in and of itself, change the human heart. He had a great pastor. Come on. Judas had a great pastor. Satan, folks, Satan made a relentless assault on Judas' soul. As he does today, he is relentless assault on everyone who chooses to follow Jesus Christ. And we read about Satan's attack on Judas. The Satan entered into Judas Iscariot in Luke 22. The devil had already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him in John 13. Satan entered into him in John 13. You see, Satan's activity have led some people to say, well, poor Judas, he didn't have a chance. Satan entered him. What could he do about it? But the fact is, folks, hear me tonight. Judas opened the door to Satan. Come on. Judas opened the door to Satan. See, Judas had been stealing the money from the money bag. And when he kept this secret, this sin secret, folks, Satan entered into him. Judas made a deal with the chief priest and then sat down at the Lord's table. With known sin, he would not confess. And Satan entered even further into his life. You see, folks, unconfessed sin always opens the door to Satan's power. Always. Unconfessed sin always opens the door to Satan's power. Satan has no power over you except for what you allow him to have. Come on. Satan doesn't gain a foothold in the lives of people who are walking in the light of Jesus Christ. Satan only gains access when we open the door. Judas went out into the darkness that he had chosen. When you get close to Jesus, one or two things happen. Either you will become wholly his, or you will end up more alienated from him. So among those who hate Christ the most, there are people that really hate Christ. Some once served him. Jesus claims, his claims are also exclusive. When Jesus claims us, folks, amen, and his demands are pervasive, that in the end you must either give yourself to him completely or give him up altogether. There is no middle ground with Jesus. You're either hot or you're cold. He said, if you're lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth. The story of Judas reminds us that nothing good can come from giving up on Jesus. Amen? I said nothing good comes from leaving the Lord. And only those who have never known Jesus can remain indifferent to him. Amen? But those who get close to the only outcome are full devotion or eventual antagonism. And every day each of us is heading in one direction or the other. Come on. Hallelujah. Worship him right now. How does someone become a Judas? What most occur in the spirit realm for enthusiastic follower of Christ to so quickly descend like Judas into a greedy, embittered traitor that Judas became? How did Judas regress from a loyal disciple into a cynical, critical, cold, and callous outsider that faced the Redeemer of the world and offered him a kiss of betrayal? Judas would kiss the door of heaven and turn around and walk through the gates of hell. Not because of something that occurred overnight. It didn't occur overnight, folks, but because of a slippery slope of greed, a slippery slope of love for the world that superseded his love for Jesus. Did Judas have to become a betrayer? No. See, if you believe that, if you believe that Jesus, that Judas became, had to become a betrayer, then you believe the Calvinistic theory of predestination. So therefore, you refuse to believe the words of Jesus Christ that declares, it is not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come into eternal life. Amen. Listen to me, folks. The underlying spirit of betrayal stalked the 12 disciples. And as a wolf that picks off the smallest, that picks off the weakest, found the most willing victim in Judas Iscariot. Understand me tonight. Hear me. We are all capable of betrayal. 11 of the 12 disciples must have believed that they were capable of the horrible betrayal. You want me to prove it to you? They all thought they was betrayed, capable of betrayal. Because in Matthew 26, 21 and 22, and as they did eat, he said, verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceeding sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto the Lord, Lord, is it I? Every one of them. Even John, folks, in John 13 declares that there was a disciple who leaned on the bosom of Jesus and asked, without reference to himself, Lord, who is it? You see, why even talk about Judas, Pastor? Why do we need to observe the life and the demise of one Judas Iscariot? Because though, folks, lying dormant, there is resident in all of us the same distinct possibility that we also would denounce, betray, abandon, forsake Jesus Christ. Now just look at all that Judas experienced. Judas saw miracles. He heard the powerful teachings of Christ. If Judas needed proof and production, he had it, folks. He lived in the intoxication, the camp meeting of the supernatural. Every day was Sunday. Every day was choir, anointed preaching, signs, and wonder. You see, some people say, well, if I had a better pastor, a better church, if I had a bigger choir, if I had a better youth ministry, I wouldn't have backslid. You tell me anybody that had it any better than Judas. I doubt it. You could say you, if you had a better pastor, a better church, a bigger choir, a better youth group. Hey, folks, you say you wouldn't backslide? I doubt it. You see, folks, when Judas backslid with Jesus behind the pulpit, with miracles happening every day, was Judas in the beginning antagonistic, uncooperative? I sincerely doubt it. But no doubt, folks, no doubt he was faithful. No doubt he was supportive. He was heavily involved, or else he wouldn't have been given the position of treasure. No doubt, in the beginning, as long as the crowds were large and the money bag was full, Judas was a loyal and happy follower. As long as the miracles were astonishing, as long as they were frequent, as long as the church was in revival and excitement was high, Judas was a happy Christian. Some Christians are just like that today, folks. Announce revival, promote excitement, have an attendance drive, give away prizes, miracles are happening, and the church is popping, and Judas is still in the pew. The word separates the wheat from the chaff. Jesus taught some unpopular doctrine. In John 6:54, whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up in the last days. Amen. In fact, it was so unpopular that the Bible says in John 6:66, from that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Judas leave Jesus and the group at a particular time. But you know, folks, that he really wanted to. When Jesus spoke this same thing, the scriptures that I just read, Judas probably wanted to walk away also. Judas, with glee, he watched the rich young lawyer approach Jesus, announcing, Jesus, I will follow you. And Judas is like, oh yeah. Fill that money bag, buddy. Judas saw dollar signs when the rich young lawyer came up to Jesus. He saw greater prestige. He saw an opportunity for the ragtag group of followers to step into a higher echelon. Let's get out of the hood. Maybe if he starts coming along, we'll get out of the hood. Maybe we'll have a fancier church. Maybe we can have a big choir. Oh, I want to see that lawyer, rich young lawyer, come. You see, but Judas began to cringe in horror when Jesus said to the rich man, you want to follow me? Go and sell all that you have and give to the poor. He that would be my disciple must first deny himself, pick up his cross and follow me. And Judas is like, man, come on, Jesus. Judas saw the treasury bag getting lighter and the crowds getting smaller. And his disenchantment with Christ reached its limit, folks, when the poor woman took an alabaster box and broke it open and poured it out that costly contents over the head of Jesus. Enraged, Judas stood at his feet and shouted, what a waste! You see, this could have been sold, he said. This could have been sold and given to the poor. What Mary called worship, Judas called waste. Have you ever been affected by Judas syndrome? You see, there's a deadly virus that has affected a lot of casual apostolics in these last days. The Judas syndrome. As long as the crowds are large, they're on board. As long as the signs and wonders are evident, they're around. As long as the church treasury is substantial, there's enough money for long trips. There's enough money for feasts. You'll see them around. As long as there's electricity and excitement in the air, they're in the pew. And as long as the church is producing, people affected with Judas syndrome are with you. But let the church encounter a storm, and they're the first ones to abandon the ship. Let a little while go by. Nobody has received the Holy Ghost. Those with the Judas syndrome, they're gone. Let the pastor shift gears a little bit. Let's try something different. And the Judas is looking at one another in the congregation saying, I'm out of here. You see, if the church faces a financial challenge and those with the Judas syndrome, they lose their vision. When God demands cross-bearing, When God wants us to have self-denial, the Judas, amen, his syndrome is like a pinpoint sniper. He takes a few out of the church. When God doesn't give Judas a job that he expects, Judas gets upset. When God doesn't bless Judas with the relationship that he desires, Judas will make it happen for himself. When God doesn't give Judas the material things that they want, Judas will just have to work more and make it happen himself. If God won't, if God don't, Judas will. Now here's a message to those with the Judas syndrome. Hear me tonight. It's time to sell out completely to Jesus. Amen? In John 6, 67 through 69, then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. It's time to sell out completely to Jesus Christ. Come on. Hallelujah. Of the 12 originally chosen, only one never made it to Pentecost. Hear that. I said of the 12 disciples originally chosen, only one never made it to Pentecost. You see, folks, those with the Judas syndrome, they get the buzz of the miraculous. They get the sight and the tingle of the sensational, but they cheat themselves of the ultimate Pentecost. Folks, the church is going to go through struggles at times. And sometimes the church, it will appear that revival is absent and the cup of the miraculous is dry. But I tell you tonight, just hold on. You know why? Because revival is coming. Amen. Revival is coming. Let's stand here tonight. Hallelujah. Folks, we got to hang in there. Hallelujah. We got to trust in God. We have to sell out ourselves to Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. We have to put Him first in our life. We have to want His will in our lives more than anything. Don't be like Judas. Try to get your happiness on your own. That's why Judas liked carrying around that money bag. You see, he only had temporary happiness. When he could steal it here and there. Folks, when I said sometimes we're like Judas, is when we steal things that out of the will of God that makes us happy. But it never lasts because you got to go back and steal again. It was never enough for Judas. We've got to want what Jesus wants for us. Because nothing else will do. Nothing else will satisfy. Let God bless you in every way possible. He knows you better than you know you. Amen. He knows what will really satisfy in your life. If you're here tonight and you need the Holy Ghost, I want to invite you to this altar. Because God wants to fill you tonight. Because He knows what you need. He knows what you need. Hallelujah. You know you have the Holy Ghost. The Bible tells us in Acts that when they received the Holy Ghost, they spoke with another language. That's how you know. That's your title to the Holy Ghost. If you need a healing tonight, our God is able to heal you. Amen. He took stripes on His back for your healing, for my healing. Amen. God, you took stripes for my healing. I want my healing tonight. God knows what makes you happy. If you need deliverance in your life tonight, He is the deliverer. Whatever you need tonight, God is able to meet that need tonight. I invite you to this altar right now. Come on, if you need a healing, if you need deliverance, if you need the Holy Ghost, folks, whatever it is, saints of God, I want you to be sensitive in this house tonight. Come on, let's invite people with us. Amen. Don't come up here empty-handed. Bring somebody with you. Amen. Ask them if they have a need tonight. You would like to help them. Come on, this altar's open.